Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hashtag no music, no intro. We are back, even though we haven't been gone for that long. It feels like maybe we have been gone for that long. Another episode of the Saints Block Party Podcast coming at you. Wrapping up OTAs, talking Saints. We have mandatory minicamp right around the corner that starts next week. So please know that there's going to be tons and tons of, you know, we got y'all covered regarding that. It's just one of those things, like people are like, oh, we're like, where's the podcast? Like we've been here. We've just been dealing with life and life. Personal stuff, and just life is life. And as I used to say to a former friend of mine, life is a scam. And not always, but in some ways, and sometimes like life can really be a scam, bro. So, just some updates regarding the community. So if you are on the West Coast or you plan to go to the Saints Chargers game, and you're a Patreon, October 27th is the day of the game. Please make sure you either RSVP or let me know that you plan to go, the number of tickets that you need. It is $62 per ticket. $62 per ticket to go to the Saints Chargers game. And then for the Falcons Saints game, the big meetup in New Orleans on November 10th. I gotta get this off my chest, bro. I do not understand. Of 32 NFL teams, we have a Saints podcast. In 2 years, the ease and convenience of getting group tickets for away games for Rams and Chargers, obviously they're both at SoFi, and for the Texans, compared to getting a home Saints game group tickets, has been the most disastrous thing. It feels like it doesn't even feel like the team is ran in the same type of level that other teams ran around the league.
Don't make no sense.
We were told that the Saints only, I believe, allocate, I believe it was like, there's like two sections in the Superdome that they allocate just to group tickets for like large parties. But unlike almost every other team in the league, they put their group tickets like literally, and I don't know if this is like just what they're saying and that just it's just a hot lie, or maybe it is actually how they do things and they're just dumb, but are on like the club level. So basically, like, we did the math, like, for us to have been able to get group tickets, like, it would have been like, for the number of people, would have been like 15K.
What? That don't make no goddamn sense.
Also, does not include food or drinks. It's just, but yet every, I shouldn't say every, all the other three teams that I have done these meetups for, there's typically two type of tickets. There's basically sitting like in the stands or like where we were for the Texans game or somewhere close. Those tickets are around the same, like, you know, $80 a ticket, $100 a ticket, depending on the game, depending on the team. And then there's like the bougier tickets, right? That's closer, blah, 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 right? It is unfathomable to me that the Saints run organization where the only group tickets are like essentially like club level seats, that's like 15K.
Don't make no sense.
None, bro.
None. I'm sure we ain't the only group of people trying to have like a group trip. Come on, huh?
So either someone is lying, or they're just dumb. Or they just run bad business, bro. Like, there's no other way around it. That said, right now we're around 20 people hoping to 20 people have RSVP'd for coming to the Saints Falcons game. Please, please, please. So those tickets, because we can't get a group rate through the Saints for whatever reason, those tickets are looking to be about $103 per ticket. Please make sure that if you're Patreon and all that, that... Oh, sorry. Clarification. It would have been 12K for 30 people if we were to do it. 12K, Ryan, for 30 people. That's what, $430 or $500 or whatever it is per person?
Patrons ain't hitting like that. Hey,
like when that report came out, they didn't pay the bill, bro. Like, it made sense because it's just like. But yet, when we did the Pelicans games meetup, that was $100 per ticket. We had club seats and all you can eat food and all and unlimited liquor all night. It don't make sense to me, Ryan. I need someone to break it down.
I don't know what's going on. They gotta really reevaluate that whole thing. What they doing down there?
Anyhow, if you're Patreon,
they're sending the spam email and text to everybody. Want these season tickets?
Please get these season tickets. Please, we broke. Can you get a season ticket? Can you get it? Anyway, let me stop. If you are a Patreon, if you are planning to come to the meetup, or specifically for the game, if you're planning to come and sit with us, please RSVP. So the max number was 20. I've extended that. So now I think it's like 25. I want to make sure that we can all sit together. So essentially what's going to happen is I'm going to have to, you know, once everyone's paid or at least half people are paid, I'm going to buy 18 or 20, however, and then just with the money that people send over to me, I'll make sure it's paid off. So just make sure you reach out, you RSVP, please. Please, 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 please. And pay the 103 whenever, hopefully sooner rather than later, but whenever you can. So that's just like the planning for the meetup. And then before we get into OTAs, I just want to talk about the power of the internet, podcasts, connections, community. Our dude Miguel, who was our first Patreon, and Miguel has been supporting me even when, you know, Underhill and I was doing Saints Talk. And Miguel, when he was at UCLA, he was a student. Now my dude's doing great things in the world. He's a therapist. He's like just doing what a person is supposed to be doing in life at the highest level, and much love and respect for him. But the fact that he has been like one of my biggest supporters for as long as I've been podcasting, which has almost been about like 6+ years. And I've only been doing photography since like last July. So not even a year. The fact that both him and his now wife were able to trust me to do their wedding photography this past Sunday. I cannot like speak to the level of like what this community is all about. Like when we talk about podcasting, right? Think about that, bro. Like, that is like the biggest day of a person's life.
A
person's life.
Huge level of choice.
Huge. And I was trusted of capturing one of the biggest days of their lives, man. And you know, as of someone who, you know, still is green to photography, like I know what I'm doing. I have talent. I'm in school for it. But it's not like I've been out here doing photography for like 15+ years or something like that.
Right.
And that's what we talk about, what this community is just all about ultimately, man. Like the connections that are built like from this podcast, and just, you know, like I say it all the time, man, the Saints brought us together, but it goes so far beyond like the Saints. It's insane. And so much love to Miguel and his lovely wife for just trusting me in that, and you know, the level of trust and respect for that, it just touched me to my soul, man. I was thinking about it at the wedding. I was like, man, like came like from a podcast, bro. From a podcast. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Shout out to Miguel, man. Congratulations to you and yours, bro.
Talk about the Saints, Ryan. Things wrapping up. OTA is wrapping up. this Taysom Hill thing, bruh. I want to give you credit where credit's due, bro. It was your thing. Like when Clint Kubiak got hired, we talked about it before. Like it was just like, man, like if he could just see like Taysom and this Kyle Juszczyk role, and it was your thing. It was your call, and it really just seems like it has. They kind of getting freaky in the bed with it, bro. Like they getting
freaky,
like,
bro.
Get freaky as
trying the thing.
Got bring the toys out. Got the tripod set up, bro. The possibilities are are endless, and it's exciting. It's an exciting thing to see, and I'm sure Taysom Hill's excited about it, and he's rejuvenated, and it's exciting to see that. Like it seems like it is going to be a very big part of the offense because it's so heavily being done in OTAs, in the install, and it's cool to see.
It's crazy, man. Like, it's crazy things we're hearing. You know, I mean, Taysom, he was the main one getting handoffs in this, in the pass practice, getting handoffs. Running outside zone, stretch zone. He had plays where the handoff was fake to him, then give it to the running back, and he's the lead blocker. Moving around at the tight end position, pushing them on the side at halfback, offsetting them to the side. And look, you can go watch the 49ers and watch what they do with Juszczyk. And that's what they do, man. Like they use him as a formational chess piece.
Yep.
To dictate certain things by the defense, you know, and it's just gonna be so fast. But the best thing about that is, bro, like really the best thing. Is it just makes sense.
Yes.
Like it made sense if you looked at the player and it just made sense. And so it feels good to have a coaching staff. Cause so many times, what do we say? What's the vision? You know what I'm saying? We constantly ask, what's the vision? What are they doing? What are Zach Bond and this and that? What is the vision? Finally, we got a coaching staff in there where the vision I see the vision. I see what they're trying to do. Makes sense. You know, will it work? We'll see. Like it's early in off season. We don't know what's going to work, if it's going to, but just what we're seeing right now, what we're hearing, the fact that they're doing things that makes common sense from a football standpoint, is just good to hear. Good to hear.
And it's good that you're taking a player who has been productive and also been crucial to the offense. Like when things have not been working, the team has had no choice, especially kind of under DA, to lean on Taysom. Even though I know, like even last year, as an example, the team wanted to get away like from Taysom as much as they could. Like I can say that because it's true. And if you just go back to last offseason, every move that they made in the offseason indicated like they wanted whatever role Taysom played to be filled. Adam Prentice, Foster Moreau, they re-signed Juwan Johnson. They signed Jamal Williams. They drafted Kendre Miller. Literally everything besides like punt block and kick, like they wanted to phase Taysom out, right? And because the offense struggled at times and Taysom is break the glass in case of emergency, and Taysom does what he does when you break the glass in case of emergency, he's just a productive, versatile football player. And now I love the fact they're not waiting to break the glass. It's just like, use him and use him to create mismatches. Like it doesn't mean that the ball has to go to him, but if you have a game plan where the defense thinks that the ball may be going to him, that means that someone else is open. Or if you do that enough times in the game, the defense kind of relaxes and then you do decide to give it to Taysom, man, Taysom in the third and fourth quarter when the defense is tired, bro.
We've seen it, bro. And then now you're not just coming up with packages on the fly. You're already installing plays this early in OTAs and minicamp. You know what I'm saying? So you're developing a plethora of packages for him to run out of. So it's going to be fascinating, man.
Eric might have put the back signal up for Eric, bro. During Pride Month?
Taysom package? So, man, it's going to be fascinating. Just the stuff we're hearing, bro. Like, he talked about Ross Jackson was talking about how there was one play where the defense got fooled, and I don't remember the player, what player it was, but one of the Saints offensive players was like, man, they didn't even see that coming. Like, just the fact that Saints are doing things on offense that the defense can't see coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, how long have we been watching this offense, bro, where it's just like, we know everything that's happening. Like, we know,
bruh.
You know, second, like, first down, run up the middle.
It got so predictable at one point, bro. Like, especially, you can maybe tell what the play was going to be pre-snap.
Yep.
Pre-snap.
Really? Pre-snap.
By formation, by the package of, like, the players who were in, you had an idea of what the play was going to be.
You see, who was it, Lynn Bowden? You see him come out there.
It's a run play. Even the Colts player said, oh, you out here just blocking, huh?
Oh,
yeah. Like,
oh, you about to run the ball, huh? Uh-huh. Five out here.
Another thing that as training camp, not sorry, not training camp, as OTAs wrapped up yesterday, are we going to get something from Isaiah Foskey? Are we going to get...
don't get Dante started, bro.
Can't stand that man.
Foskey out here looking 38, man.
Man, look like me, bro. Let it go, bro.
You gotta let it go, bro.
Let it go.
We all been there. We all been there. But I mean, look, he's flashed, bro. Like, I paid attention to the notes, and he's been flashing. No pads. Obviously, there's no pads. There's no hitting. There's no tackling. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But it's better than not hearing nothing. That's all I can say. You know what I'm saying? It's better than not hearing nothing. So, and he talked about it. You know, at his presser, how, you know, he was in his head last year. Maybe it's an off-season trope, you know, where a lot of players say that. But he said he was in his head last year trying not to make mistakes, you know, and he's just on go now. He's on go. He worked out with Aaron Donald's trainer this off-season, working on pass rush moves and getting quick off the snap and stuff like that. We'll see, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not expecting anything, but all I know is, like, if he does bring something, and look, the dude has talent, man. Like, I yes. remember watching his tape. He has talent. If he could give us something, man, like, that's huge for the defensive line, bro, because they need it bad, bro. They need pass rush in the worst way.
Worst way. It was good to hear, you know, even though he's, you know, recovering from the neck surgery, that, you know, Chase Young has, you know, essentially been there. All the meetings, all, like that. That's good. It's good to hear. It's encouraging. It might not mean anything, but that was encouraging. One of the most, and we'll see what happens, because that next week it becomes mandatory minicamp.
Yeah.
That Dennis Allen said they expect to see Marshawn Lattimore there.
That's interesting. That's going to be really fascinating. That's going to be really fascinating. We'll see. I don't know. Hopefully everybody there. I want to get AK. Come on, AK, bro, get up in there, man. Like, I know AK, he don't need OTAs and all that. I get it. But man, get on up in there, bro. I'm ready to see AK in this game.
In this
I'm ready
game.
To see some Kamara, man. I'm ready
in
to see that.
This game. I don't know why our stream just ended. Like, it just ended on YouTube for what reason. I have no idea.
The hell?
No clue. But we're still going on the actual pod. I don't know why it just ended up. What time is it? Like, is it? Nope. The only thing I think it was maybe I hit the button. Anyway, well, we apologize. We're gonna keep going. And then people can watch the show later. Don't know what happened, but want to see AK in this scheme. The Kendre Miller. Like, he just needs to be healthy. He just needs to be healthy. Because I really think in this offense, the sky is the limit for him of what he may be able to be as a player in the league if he can stay healthy.
But what's crazy is what I'm hearing is Jamal Williams is getting – really getting more of the load now than Kendrick. Hey, bruh, I'm just saying, man. Maybe, just maybe, in this scheme, maybe Jamal Williams might be something. Maybe, even if it's just on the goal line, bro. Even if it's just in the red zone.
I guess, like, to that point, if he's getting more, like, if he's getting more play, like in the red zone, then why is he taking steps away from Kendre?
I don't know. I mean, it could be just one of the things where young player, older player versus young player. I don't know. I want to see Kendrick in there, bro. Give me some juice. Like, we
please.
Like, we need some juice in there, bro. But, you know, it could be one of them things where, you know, Jamal been around for a while, so I'm sure he can adapt to a playbook pretty much quicker than Kendrick Miller. You know what I'm saying? So, I would, it's not something I'd worry about or anything like that. I think Kendrick, if he's healthy, I think he's going to get a load. You know what I'm saying? He's going to get his load. He's going to get his fair share.
I hope so. And I hope that he can stay healthy. It really seems like, you know, unless something drastically changes, like they're really banking on that offensive line working out with Fuaga at left tackle, Nick Saliverde, Sosa Verde at left guard, Eric McCoy, Ruiz, and Trevor Penning at right tackle.
Not much of a choice. Gotta work. Like, it's gotta work. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is it. You know, maybe Landon Young, depending on workout, maybe they put Landon Young in there, but they are fully committed to the Penning, Trevor Penning working out. And whether they believe it or not, doesn't really matter. They want it to work out. And I'm sure Penning wants this to work out. That dude worked, bust his butt this offseason, trying to get right, man. So he said, you know, DA called him, you know, early in the offseason after the season was over and said, look, we starting over from scratch. You know,
here's what we're gonna do. Okay.
Yeah, they actually talked. Right tackle, come in, we're gonna start from scratch. Don't even worry about last year, da 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 da, you're healthy. Let's go, you know. And right now it's on Penning. You got a whole new coaching staff, no
right.
John Benton and all those guys, they said they ain't even worrying about last year. He started right here. So it's on Penning now, bro. It's on Penning. You know, it's on the coaching staff to develop him. And they're giving him the opportunity. He's been with the ones. So it's like, we'll see. We shall see. I think he doesn't have to become an all-pro, but can you just be an average right tackle? You know,
if
you
be a literally – So I think someone in the Discord or someone like, can he just be the Cesar Ruiz of right tackles, bro? Like, just be right. A Cesar, like.
That's it, man. Who was that player? I think the Giants drafted a couple years ago. Started off horrible on the offensive line. But I think he improved to be like just a solid offensive lineman, was it?
Wasn't Andrew Thomas, was it?
I think it was Andrew Thomas. I remember his first year, his rookie year, was pretty bad.
It was bad.
And then, you know, he came fine. You know what I'm saying?
So they drafted Andrew Thomas, left tackle, and then I think the very next year they drafted Evan Neal.
Yeah.
And Evan Neal became the left tackle, and then Andrew Thomas went to right tackle. And it's, if I remember, I mean, I don't know the Giants off the top of my head, but it sounds like Andrew Thomas is still, like, maybe just – like probably even little like below average, and he was drafted like,
oh,
in like top 10.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, just be a serviceable right tackle. And it's funny because the 49ers offensive line coach or whatever kind of was in the news because he was just talking about how, you know, they'd rather take offensive linemen kind of in the middle of the draft. You know what I'm saying? Like in the middle of the late draft because he was basically saying, like, look, we'd rather get high-value playmakers for this offense and figure out and coach up the offensive line because, look, if I could have Brock Purdy throw a, you know, 8-yard hitch to Debo or whatever and Debo takes it to the house, it really doesn't matter if my right tackle getting beat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's a two-step, three-step drop, or boom.
Boom.
So, like, a lot of people's like, what? Like, but I kind of understand his sense. It makes complete sense. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm wondering if the Saints, you know, if the new brains trust takes that approach. It's like, man, look, we just got to get this offensive line good enough, get the run blocking humming, the pass game good enough. We're going to have to play action pass and all that stuff. Now, the question is going to be interesting is when it's 3rd and 9, 3rd and 12, when you
got to hold up.
When it's a drop back pass. Ain't no play action, none of that. You got to stand back there, Derek Carr. Going to have to read the defense. You got to stand back there and read that defense, and that's what you're going to see. We'll see.
I'll say this from a fan standpoint. Like, I don't like, we went through the games, right, and did the win loss record. I think we both had them around like 7 or 8 wins. It was, yeah, 7 or 8. Yeah, that's right. And I will say this as a fan, I am excited to see what it looks like. Like, even with my annoyance, you know, Derek Carr, I heard just trying to, I get it, bro. Like, he's trying to do every little thing, conning, barbershop. You can't fool me, nigga. Like, you can't fool me? He's doing, bro. But he's trying, right? I'm just excited to see how it all ends up and how it all looks, man. Like you said on a previous episode, like, we're not gonna see it week one. I mean, sorry, we're not gonna see it in the preseason. Nope. We're not gonna see it in the preseason. But week one, against the Panthers, we're gonna see.
We'll see, bro. And even week one is like, it's not gonna tell the whole story. I was on the Discord today, and we were talking about on the Zoom, like, it was the first offensive play last season was like a 25-yard bomb to Michael Thomas. So I pulled up the Zoom that we did, and boy, we was excited. Boy, we was like, woo! You was like, man, look at that ball. Look at, he threw that ball. It was
a great ball, Ryan. It was a great throw.
He was hype, bro. Hype. You know what I'm saying? So it's the whole, how it all plays out is going to be interesting, man. So. Even if it's like good at first, it's like, I can't wait for the experience though. Just being on a Zoom, mm-hmm. Man. If you're not a patron, become a patron so you can join the game day Zooms. That's why, honestly, that's what I'm looking for the most this upcoming season. Outside the meetup and all that, like, just the game day Zooms, being with the community, watching the Saints, just talking football, having fun, laughing. It don't matter if the Saints losing, if they're winning, man. We having a good time on that Zoom.
And it's like, when things happen in the game that prior to like disconnecting, that would just, oh, it just make my blood boil, like a turnover, bro. A sack. Oh, like, they now, like, it's like high level comedy to me. Like, it is high, like, like that, when G called Derek Carr throwing like a INT right before it happened, and then it happened, bro. Like, oh my God. Even we were at the Texas game when Zach Bond picked the ball off, bro.
Hilarious, man.
I was just, like, the people, like, even the people, like, in the community, like, you know, the people who were Patreons that were at the game with us, like, they were annoyed, bro. Like, it's just funny to me, dog.
Oh, that was hilarious. I'm about to go into a diabetic coma. That was exactly like...
Anything else from OTAs, as it wrapped up, caught your attention? One thing that's not OTA related, but it's kind of tangentially Saints related, is Justin Jefferson getting paid $35 million a year?
Man, so fascinating to me.
Because then now you have CeeDee Lamb on deck, you have Ja'Marr Chase on deck, you have T. Higgins on deck. And then, like, after, like, and to me, like, those are receivers that are truly, like, WR1. Even T. Higgins. Like, I think even T. Higgins on another...
Any other team, he'd be a wide receiver one.
Absolutely. So after those three get paid, then it's gonna get so interesting. With, you know, I get it. We look way ahead, but Chris Olave is gonna become contract extension eligible.
Garrett Wilson,
Garrett Wilson gonna be.
Price of the brick going up.
It's the price. It's the going rate, bruh. It's the going rate.
But I just wonder, like, as far as team building, how it's, you know, just how do you view that? Because, man, I mean, college has been putting out, like, good wide receivers every year that are good, like, day one. Like,
yeah, man.
It's underrated how good Chris Olave was just from game one, bro.
I think, you know, like,
it used to take a while.
You said it the best of, like, I forgot, it was an episode we did a while ago of just, like, how he performed as a rookie, like, just out the gate. To a lot of, like, to maybe, like, fans as a whole, maybe set him up for failure. Like, yeah, exactly. In terms of, like, expectation.
Right. Because it's, like, 1,200 yards, whoop-de-doo. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy when you really think about, like, as a rookie.
Like, and, like, Colston hit 1,200, like, once in his career. You know what I'm saying? So it's, like, our expectations just changed. You know, especially, like, Michael Thomas. We had Michael Thomas. I mean, dude caught 149 passes in a season. So it's like, but just how professional Chris Olave came, and he talked about it. He gained a little bit of, like, 7 pounds of muscle
put
some bulk on. And look, like, he talked about it. He's excited. Everybody, every offensive player they talk to is excited about this offense.
He's excited
about it. He's talking about how, you know, they're setting up in position to get a lot of yards after catch, stuff like that. Something he really wants to focus on. And, like, we talked about it with Matt Harmon when we had him on, like, how, and he's beat this horse a lot, like, Chris Olave, of all, like, the good wide receivers, he probably has the least amount of layups
given
that he's had in the Pete Carmack offense. Like, everything he had to get, it's worked for. You know what I'm saying? He's lining up at the same spot.
Go beat him.
Yeah, that's it. And he's doing it. But, like, can we get a layup here? Can we get a clear out so he has a wide open? How many times we used to watch, you know, Devery Henderson or Jimmy Graham or whoever wide open, you know, once or twice a game, just like, how did that guy get that open? Well, we'll do the formations, do the route concepts and stuff like that.
All of it.
Can we get some of that? And I think Kubiak going to give us some of that.
I can't wait. Now, can the ball get there on time? Ooh, but yes. That's what I'm always going back to. It's a little underplayed of how, like, during these OTAs, how good Jake Haener looked.
Yeah, man. Very fascinating.
Little underplayed about how good Jake, because if you just transpose Brock Purdy tape at Iowa State and Jake Haener, like, prospect tape at Fresno State, I'm not saying that he's Brock Purdy, but the way that they win are extremely similar.
Very similar, very good processes, and they both have, like, a little grit to them, like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you kind of get it out the mud a little bit. I could see it. I could see, and, you know, Jake Haener talked about, he made some good points, like, when he came in and got that Saints playbook, it was like they would have him watch, like, Drew Brees run the offense. And I was like, that's fine, but Drew Brees been in that damn offense for 14, 15 years, bro. Like, so it's like,
You just set a young player up for failure, bro. That's all that
is. Exactly. So, you know, Haener was just like, man, like, you know, it's kind of tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is complicated stuff. Like, what Drew and Sean Payton was doing was just like,
it was just next level stuff. It was like soulmates, bro. Like, just true, exactly. Like, soulmates. Spoke only a language that them two and Pete Carmichael knew, and that's it.
That's it. And it was an offense that kept building on top of what they did the previous year, the next year, the next year, the next year. So this time, everybody's starting from scratch at step one and building it from there. And I think, you know, I think it's going to benefit Haener, bro. I think it really is. I think it's going to benefit everybody.
Right. Just kind of reading practice reports, I just, there's something about Alante, bro. Like, as a player, like, the talent is just there. But he's been playing outside. Yeah. You know, because there's been no Debo, there's been no Lattimore, and that's where he's, no, like, Kool-Aid. There's no Kool-Aid either. And that's where he's, like, the most comfortable, so it doesn't, like, shock me to see that he's been playing well, because that seems like to be, like, the position he's most comfortable and natural to him. What happens to him is, like, one of the the most fascinating things I think that's going to happen prior to the season. Of, like, where he plays, if he plays. I don't know, man. Like, the battle between, assuming Marshawn doesn't get traded, he doesn't go anywhere. Like, the battle between Alante and Kool-Aid for the slot is going to be extremely interesting to see.
Very fascinating, man. Very fascinating. It's just one of those things where it's like, man, you got such a talented player. You want to get him on the field, but they got so many cornerbacks. They just got so many cornerbacks. So I don't know how that's going to play out. But the fact that he's getting so much starting snaps on the outside, I'm like, man, you know, that should mean something.
It should, but then also that seems like that is, like, counterproductive, because this is assuming that Adebo's back and Lattimore's back. To me, like, that's more of a disservice to Alante for him to be getting those snaps at the outside. Right. Like, you would think, exactly, if he's going to play the slot, if you have a full starting cornerback room, then his snaps should be at the slot, because he didn't get any snaps at the slot last offseason. Like,
right,
have him play the position where he's potentially going to play this season.
I mean, come on.
It seems ass backwards.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Don't get that at all. Anything else just OTA related? I'll say this, bro. Like Juwan makes a team, right? Like, this just.
I ain't heard nothing about Juwan. I was thinking that earlier. I was like, man, I think I read one little blurb where he caught a catch from Haina or something like that.
Right.
But I was just like, man, what?
But, like,
I keep hearing about this other kid,
Jacobson.
Jacobson. I keep hearing about him, man.
Him and Hoker.
Yeah, and Hoker. Like, Hoker been, like, with the ones.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I asked, does Juwan make the team?
I don't know, bro. I don't know what's up with Juwan, man.
I don't know either, bro.
Dude had, like, a really good season with Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston. It was like, I mean, I thought he was leveling up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do some TikTok. I don't know, bro.
I don't know, bro.
No clue. But, I mean, this is kind of like there'll be a lot of news and information that comes from mandatory minicamp, which is going to be great next week. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be able to touch bases with our guy, Greg Rosenthal, get him on the show, talk about his projected starter series, that's always, always, always a fantastic read every offseason, because it kind of just recalibrates, like, oh, I forgot that this player plays for this team. I forgot that this team drafted this player. Kind of just gives you insight for everything that any team in the NFL has done this offseason, in free agency and in the draft. So our goal is to get Greg on next week. He said he'd come on. We just got to figure out the date and the time. Trying to think anything. Oh, I guess we could talk about the USA Today article that listed Dennis Allen as like the worst head coach in football. I guess we can talk about that.
Oh.
I mean, it matches what the NFLPA report card said. So, yeah. Like,
and people was like, I mean, some people, you know, I do Juno and all of them was like, oh, I mean, what are we arguing about? Like, is he, maybe he's 29th or 30th then? It's like, don't matter. Like, he's one of the worst coaches in the NFL. It don't matter. Like, you want to be 31? 31st? Okay. Be 31st, like, worst coach. I don't.
Again, other players on the team, not USA Today, These are essentially his employees, his direct reports, voted him as the worst coach in football last season who still has a job. Everyone else that was voted under him got fired. So the USA Today article, like, only just emphasizes what the players on the team already think of him. Like, what's the argument about? Like, what's the argument? Now, if he starts off and he goes like 5-0 and he just has a great season, are we like we're only hoping for Dennis Allen's downfall? I mean, I think at this point it's kind of been like he's kind of proven that like hopefully the downfall happens, but like this he knows that this is it for him. He knows this season is crucial for him. That whole big lie of like, oh, we don't listen to the noise, that's something, get the fuck out my face. Please. Please. We don't listen to the noise outside the building, but we're going to listen to every podcast episode the Saints Block Party podcast do. Okay, bro. Okay. Like, sure. But I didn't even see exactly like what the arguments were, but he's the man's record in the NFL as a head coach
It was kind of the typical argument of, you know, Saints should have blew it up, you know, a couple years ago, mediocre team, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And that's what I like. Blow it up thing is like, what are we? When people say that, I just want to ask, like, what do you mean? You know what I'm saying? Like I understand, like, blow it up, but, like, what do you mean by that? You know what I'm saying? Like, just cut players, to just try to trade players? Like, what are we actually doing here? You know what I'm saying?
Right. And even blowing it up, like, blowing it up in theory, you blow it up in hope of, like, more than likely, like it becomes like, okay, we blow it up and we're not good, we can get a higher draft pick, and hopefully we get a higher draft pick. We draft more like elite players, and those players help us turn around faster. There are so many factors to that because you have to draft the right players, and then two, even drafting the right players, that means you still have to have the right head coach in place to be coaching these players. Like, so it's not they're not like mutually exclusive. Like it has to be. Both, like you have to look at the Lions, right? The Lions is a perfect example. Brad Holmes, Brad Holmes is the GM. They got Dan Campbell, and then they started drafting the right players, and then they're a half away from going to the Super Bowl. It has to be both. It can't be one or the other. So it's just, I don't know. Like, should the Saints have conducted a very thorough head coaching search instead of just pretty much giving it to DA? Yeah. Now, Does this team look the same under, as an example, Doug Peterson? If Doug Peterson was the head coach rather than Dennis Allen, it probably looks drastically different. The players are probably different. The staff obviously be different. But that's all like going like through sliding doors. But I don't know. I don't know what the argument is.
Yeah, I guess and it's just like, I'm all for criticizing Dig, but just criticize him for the right things. You know what I'm saying? Like,
please.
Like, just not blowing the team up. Like, that's not the criticism. Like, criticize him for just all the shit he's done the past 2 years, damn it. Listen to our podcast. We'll tell you. We did a whole podcast, built a whole case against Dennis Allen. Like, just listen to that one.
Casey Novak would be proud. Shout out to my
girl Casey.
Listen, we are the first, the absolute first place when it comes to a DA roast. Like, we are right
there. Put us in there. We ready.
And 9 times out of 10, it is 100% justified. But the times where he deserves a little smidgen of credit, we give it to him. Because, like, we're not just all just focusing, like, on the negative. Listen, I can't stand Derek Carr, bro. Like, I can't stand him. Does that mean I'm going into the season hope that he plays poorly? No, because if that happens, that means that as a team, like, we're probably, like, not winning. And it's probably, like, we're probably not doing well in games. Now, conversely, if he's playing poorly, like, yes, the jokes are gonna be out. We gonna get the jokes off. We gonna do all that. Hey. And it's probably gonna lead to him getting benched or cut sooner. Either way, exactly. We both win. Either he plays well or he plays poorly. As fans, we both win.
I just want some fun football, man, so people can watch our podcast. We can talk about fun stuff on the podcast and fun on the game day Zooms. Twitter be popping some wins, man.
Oh man, remember those days when we could tweet like, oh man, damn, your team ain't clinched their division yet in football? Couldn't be me.
Could be me.
Feels like forever ago, right? The closest we had last year's, bro. Like, oh, your team ain't 2-1 or 2-0? Couldn't be me.
That was the highlight.
Maybe we should start doing it in the preseason, bro. Like, that might be our peak. Yo, team didn't go undefeated in the preseason. Maybe. Anyway, don't know what happened with YouTube. I might have just used my, it could have just been my fat finger and I could have maybe hit the end stream button, but I don't, I'm hoping that was all that it was, but it may have been something else, but I think that may have been it. But anyway, we just wanted to get on and just talk about recapping the OTAs and just recapping everything and, you know, putting content out and just, you know, giving y'all something to listen or watch. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe on YouTube and on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify, and all of it, because ultimately we're doing this for you guys, for the community. We thank y'all. We appreciate y'all. We appreciate the people who are continuing to listen, even though there's a lot of tumbleweeds floating around in the football sphere. But we're in June, and about, we're like, what? It's like in the, not in the middle of June, like we're beginning of June, but give it about like two months and a half. It's like, becomes like its own little, I don't know, man. It's like its own little, it's like, it's just full speed ahead at that point.
Full
like
speed,
it is no slowing down. Like the, what was it? That Saints Niners preseason game, which is the second preseason game, is August 18th, which I will be at. Right in the, like the thicket, bro, with the camera and,
you know,
so it's going to be fun. So it'll be here before we all know it. Trust me. So, but thank y'all for listening and just giving us love as always. We really, really appreciate it. We wouldn't be here without y'all. If you're listening, perfect time to become a Patreon and get in on all the things that we do as a podcast. There's so many perks and features, game day Zooms, access to the Discord, the meetups, all of it. And we have a lot of people who have not been to a meetup yet. We're going to be at the meetup this year. Have our dude Alberto coming from Amsterdam. We got our dude Bayou coming, and it's going to be special. Like Chris, Your boy whose name you completely just nailed from Canada, who was at the Texans meetup, he'll be at the he'll be at the meetup too. So it's gonna be an event as it always is. So we thank y'all, we love y'all, appreciate y'all. We'll be back next week. With that, we're out.
Peace.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.